to Jeremiah 18. Verse 15. Continue to talk about discernment. We discern for ourselves and for the world. A Christian maintains the truth. The church is the pillar and support of the truth. If the church does not support the truth, the church is not functioning as a church. A Christian who is not salt and light, Jesus said, it's good for nothing to be trodden underfoot by men. So let's look at Jeremiah 18, verse 15. For my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods. They have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, not on a highway, to make their land a desolation, an object of perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. Like an east wind, I will scatter them before the enemy. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their calamity. Let's pray. Lord, we are not worthy of being rescued in the first place, and especially, Lord, if we forget you. If we're given the truth, as Israel was, and just neglect it, forget it, throw it to the side. If the seed is sown and it falls by the wayside and the birds pluck it up, we have missed the truth and let it go away from us, to be stolen away. And I pray, Lord, that we, your people, would be strong. We don't have to be a whole lot of people, Lord, to do your work. You can work with a few. But the few you work with have got to be strong in dedication and firmness to hold the standard before this world and before you that you have laid out for us. May you find that strength here among us. In Jesus' name, amen. I know from your background that you spent a lot of time in woods around here growing up, hunting, you know, getting places, and I did too. And one thing you learn quickly in the woods is if you see a path, follow it. If you see a clear path, the most logical, wise thing to do is at least see if it's going the way you're going. And because someone has set that path before you. The easiest way to know, the quickest way to learn that you need to stay on the path is to get off the path. And once you get off the path, you'll know that you messed up. Oh, now you're in briars because you got off the beaten path. Someone, though, at some time had to lay the path out. I assume from being from North Carolina that either Davy Crockett or Daniel Boone laid out the path that I used to walk in the woods. It could have been Sir Walter Raleigh or DeSoto or somebody. But somebody came before as a trailblazer. Trailblazers are rare people. We know it from church. Church people out there want a church that's already got an established youth program, established choir, established everything. A trailblazer establishes. Most people want to follow along. So somebody went through on that in the woods, and they blazed a trail. That's what happened to got us from the east to the west in this country. People blazed a trail. And that trail was, from experience and from trial and error, found to be the best way to go from one place to the other. It's one of the primary duties in discernment is to keep to the trail that has been blazed before us by the Lord and to stop and to recognize how the world keeps changing the paths that we're supposed to walk. You've noticed that our world has a path that they want us to follow. It is, we used to have a magazine. You kids will not know probably what this is. Mad Magazine. Remember that? Alfred E. Newman? What, me worry? You young people, you've missed so much by not having Mad Magazine. But let me just say that you've got a Mad Magazine if you just look around today. This is much madder, much crazier than any Mad Magazine that we ever had. And we have got to face a challenge in this world to stop what the world is doing to the paths that God has laid out. They're called the ancient paths in this passage. Paths that were laid out from old time. The paths of our world are made in deception. And they seek to get us to start on an ungodly trend. There's a tricky building in town. It's got red balloons on it. Looks like a festive place. Red balloons. It's actually red dots. It's a liquor store. But it looks festive, doesn't it? You go in there, wow, this looks like a fun place. This is the way these things are decorated. Make it look less harmful. Things are called different things in the Bible says today. Well, we see from the start of this prophecy in verse 15 that God's people have forgotten him. We all have memory issues the older we get. I do take encouragement, though, from the fact that I used to forget things when I was a young person, too. It's not just now, but forgetfulness of this kind is not forgetfulness, you know, like of body or mind. It's forgetfulness of will. It's neglect. My people, the Lord says, have forgotten me. The people of God that are directly addressed here is Israel. Israel was the direct recipients of the message that God was giving through Jeremiah. That the people of God, Israel, had wandered from the path that God had laid out for them. God had chosen Israel to give them special revelation. He did not choose Spain. He didn't choose Italy. He didn't choose the people in the East, the Arab lands. He chose Israel. Small group of people. Abraham built up, went to the land of Canaan. That's who he chose. And he says here that those people who've been given special revelation, the first to learn of the ancient paths, Israel, that they have forgotten the ancient paths. Israel was a conduit. Israel was the way that God chose to reach the world. We have phones today. Back in the 70s, when we moved up to North Carolina in the 80s, Cindy and I had CB radios to communicate. An iPhone? What was that? We had an iRadio, a breaker thing. That's the way we communicated. We could communicate that way. Had one in the house, had one in the car. So that was the conduit. That was the way we communicated. And when we did that, I was talking to Cindy if she was out or whatever, or vice versa. But other people could hear that too. So whatever we said was just broadcast to everybody. Well, with Israel, God spoke to them, but the intention was that it would go out into all the world. So Israel was not the nation God just wanted to save and none other. Israel was just the conduit by which the word of God came out. So the people of God here that have forgotten are Israel. It's the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. But there's another people here, because within Israel, there were a lot of unbelievers. And the people of God are also considered, I think, in this regard, the world at large. Although in this particular case, he's speaking to Israel, because that's the conduit. He's speaking to the whole world through Israel. But in speaking to Israel, God was speaking mostly to lost people. God says, my people, not who know me, but my people who do not know me, of the nation of Israel. Israel was the people of God nationally, not by regeneration, not by spiritual awakening. Israel was an unbelieving nation. All day long I've stretched out my hands to a stubborn and rebellious people, God would say. Israel, true Israel, was comprised of people who actually were saved. Look at Romans chapter 2, the classic understandings of what true Israel is. Israel as the nation. And a lot of Jews believed, and believe, I think, that by being in Israel as a descendant of Abraham, and Jesus said God is able to make, you know, children of Abraham from rocks, that they were saved. Oh, if I'm a child of Abraham, I'm going to heaven. But Romans 2, verse 28, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. You're not a Jew by being circumcised. You're not a Jew by being a child of Abraham. You're truly a Jew by believing in Christ. That is truly the people of God. So when God speaks through Abraham to the people of God, Israel, the vast bulk of Israel did not know the Lord. And it's not the saved Jews that he's speaking to here that have forgotten his commands. It's not the characteristic of saints to neglect and to forget the commands of God. It is the way of the unbeliever in Israel. And Jesus came, people were trusting in Abraham, trusting in Moses, and not trusting in Christ. They felt satisfied with their national heritage, their national appointment, their national election. But they had to be elected individually to be saved. So the vast bulk of Israel didn't know the Lord. So when the Lord says, my people, to lost people, he's speaking really in a microcosm of the entire world. The issue of every person God has made who is required by God to obey. Not just the national Israel. I believe there's a future for Israel as a nation. I believe that future is laid out in the Old Testament prophets. I think it's fulfilled in the church, in that the new covenant is where it's all headed. But I believe that within the church, God is going to showcase the nation of Israel one day on earth. That's what I believe. But it is not a separate plan. And it is not just a national thing. It is a spiritual nation at that point. And all people are required by God to obey him. A new cardinal, not the bird, from the Roman Catholic Church, it was reported this past week, said that unbelievers are not required to obey the Bible. The particular thing was gay unions. He says unbelievers are not forbidden from gay unions. Christians are. Christians are forbidden to have gay unions, but not unbelievers. If you're keeping a kook file, which I used to do, put that in there. This is just, my thing was, well, what if these gay unions come together at your permission, Cardinal, and then they join the Catholic Church and become believers? What happens then? I'm assuming you want them to break it off, right? But these people aren't thinking. They're trying to make a distinction between God's people, Christians, and God's people, the world. God does not make any distinction like that. Every person on earth is a child of God naturally, in that he made them. Not by election, not by belief, but all are responsible. It's not just Christians who are responsible to the Word of God. Every person is. So when he speaks to my people in Israel who are lost, he's saying you need to remember. To people who are saved, of course, that's part of being born again. So the issue of forgetting assumes that you have prior knowledge of God's will. It's not forgetting like your mind is not as sharp as it used to be. It's not like you go out one day, you're at Walmart, guys, and you're noticing that people are taking pictures of you, and the women are looking at you, and they're taking a great interest in you, and you wonder, you know, you used to getting this, but just seems like it's more today, and then you realize you forgot to put your shirt on. Well, of course they're taking pictures and watching your physique. That's forgetfulness. Yeah, that's a problem, but this is willful neglect. And for Israel, that's the most egregious because they had the most knowledge of God. And yet they forgot. It'd be like if I forgot my grandmother's birthday. My grandmother's birthday, she was born on January 14th, 1901. I was born on January 14th, 1957. If I forgot her birthday, well, I could see other people forgetting her birthday. I could see people that don't know her forgetting her birthday. But when your birthday is on the same day as hers, she'd always call me on my birthday, or I'd call her on our birthday. Yeah. She still calls. She's been dead 21 years. She still calls me on my birthday. Kidding, actually. I told my dad that. I said, when he called me on my birthday, I said, yeah, Mama Curry already called me. Yeah. But that's just, we remember. I remember. Because we're involved in that. Mankind, as a whole, forgets God, though not by special revelation, but by natural revelation. Manufactured unbelief. They turn against creation. It's not just believe what you want to believe. It's you can't believe in creation. They badmouth you if you believe in creation. They make young people ashamed of creation in schools. So God's people have forgotten him. And God calls this, also in verse 15, stumbling. God's people have stumbled. They have, it says, my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods. They have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, not on a highway. God's evaluation is that Israel has stumbled. If I see a car in a ditch, I figure that they don't mean to be there. They didn't mean to get there. They stumbled. They got off the road. They veered off. They nodded off. They somehow got off the road. They didn't mean to be there. When you stumble, you end up where you don't want to be. And where you get to be is not necessarily a place that you can easily get back on the road from, the ancient paths. In our day, we have stumbled. I mean, when we stumbled in this day, you know how people stumble and they try to stay up and they end up running, they end up falling away farther and farther and farther. We tripped off the road in this day and age. We landed 500 yards off the road. That's how far off we are. We groom kids now in schools. A lot of school teachers are grooming kids to be other genders. We're encouraging parents to have their children mutilated to become, at a young age, what they want their gender to be. We have gender fluidity. Homosexuality is the norm. False teaching, false philosophy. That's where we've stumbled to. That's not considered stumbling to the world. The world is enlightened. You know, we didn't know this before. Now we know this. Look at us. But they've stumbled. And the particular thing it said there is that they burn incense to worthless gods. I've never been much of an incense burner. I think people do it sometimes just for the smell, the fragrance of it. But that's one way of worshiping God, false God, especially. You burn incense. You have some kind of a practice, a polity of serving your God. So they burn incense in worship to worthless gods. Now, are you mad at Allah? Does Allah make you mad? The Muslim God Allah. Does Allah make you mad? Allah can't make you mad. Allah doesn't do anything to you. Allah did not knock one building down. Allah did not inspire one terrorist. You know why? Because Allah is not alive. Allah is made to look alive by the Muslims who believe in him because he has no independent life in himself. He was created. You want to know why no one else could see your imaginary friend when you were growing up? Because he only existed, or she, in your mind. You can't get anything from a worthless God. If you erect a false God, they can't do anything for you or against you. But if you don't follow the Lord, you will have a God. A false God. Maybe yourself, a philosophy, teaching, worldliness, whatever. But you will follow a false God. And a false God has no intrinsic independent worth. I have in my office a Dodge Charger. It's about that big. I have a Mercedes that's about this big. I have an Enzo Ferrari that's about the same size as the Charger. As far as getting out and riding in them, worthless. You could sit on them or step on them, but you cannot get into them and drive them. They're completely worthless to that end. A false God can't do anything, can't save you, can't help you, can't guide you, can't assure you, can't teach you, can't inspire you. Their worth is only given to it by its creators. It's extrinsic worth. It comes from the outside. They're like the Baal worshipers. Elijah said, call on your God. And they called on their God. They cut themselves calling on Baal. Oh, Baal, hear us. The blood gushed out of them. Oh, Baal, hear us. What's wrong with Baal? Well, he's non-existent. He has no independent existence. So he can't help. This is what you do when you follow worthless gods. And every god except the Lord is a worthless god. Idol worship is worthless. Our world is enamored with Gaia. You know who Gaia is? Gaia is Mother Earth. Mother Earth is being worshipped by climate change ideology. That's what it is. It's up to you if you want to believe in that stuff. But really, Gaia is the goddess. Gaia is what's driving climate change. She has a service she wants you to perform for her, she wants you to cut carbon. That's also sin. If you sin, you shed carbon. Redemption, you pay carbon credits. And say how sorry you are while you fly your personal private jet and to another place to talk about not flying personal private jets. So Gaia is, the world is enamored with Gaia. You climate denier. Climate denier today means you don't love Gaia. You don't love the goddess. In the New Testament, great is Artemis or greater are these goddesses of Corinth. Diana. All these goddesses. And people are offended because you don't love their God. People are offended today if you don't love Gaia. And they're spending billions of dollars and trillions of dollars to serve Gaia. And it won't matter one bit in the end. Even the electric cars that we say Gaia likes most are, the batteries are made by fossil fuels. You can't win that thing. It's not going to do any good. On the secular side, they're enamored with philosophies. Right now it's postmodernism, that you can't know truth. The world gets all agaga about that. But they're all worthless and a waste of time and no good purpose except to distract you from God. That's the whole purpose of it in Satan's plan. If you worship Gaia, you won't worship the Lord God. If you worship a false philosophy, you won't follow the teaching of the Bible. That's the point. And now they walk in bypaths. Once you swallow a teaching that is false, and you begin to walk in that teaching, you walk in a bypath. It is a way off the road. It's like riding your bicycle in soft sand instead of that bike path they have at the beach. It's hard going. But that's the by side. That's the wayside bypath. It's not the one that gets you anywhere. It's the one that makes you labor harder to not get where you want to go. They've gone astray. They've chosen a more burdensome and difficult path. And so this is what is meant here. That they've stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, not on a highway. So they're wayward. And thirdly, they've wreaked havoc on the land. Verse 16, to make their land a desolation, an object of perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. The first thing you see there, they've wrecked the land. God laid out the ancient paths for his people. When I was, I don't know how old, I was very young. I was taught how to tie my shoe. And you know, I'm tying it the same way now as I did when I was told. I don't know if there's a new way to tie a shoe. But I was shown, it took me a while the first time. I was, you know, all that. You should see me tie a shoe now. Same way, just better. Because it's the same. That's an ancient path. Really? So God laid the ancient path because God said, here's my will. This is my law. That will not change. What I like will not change. What I do not like will not change. And if you change God's law, you will have things to be worse. You got a shortcut through a minefield rather than following the path. Looks like I could go straight here and get there faster. Well, that's where the mines are. It's easier to choose our way. It's harder to walk our way. What seems right is the way of death. Proverbs 13:15 speaks about the way of the treacherous. Good Good understanding, Proverbs 13, 15, good understanding produces favor. But the way of the treacherous is hard. Treacherous sometimes is transgressor, translate that, or unfaithful. If you're unfaithful, if you're a transgressor, if you're wayward, your way is hard. People say they want an easier way in life. That's where it starts. It starts with walking on the ancient paths. That has to do with morality. That has to do with law. That has to do with what is right in the sight of God. Doesn't mean you have to go back to CB radio. Technology is not addressed here. This is a moral case. Now, there are natural consequences if you rebel against God. That's mentioned there in verse 16. They make their land a desolation, an object of perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. It'd be like if I built a house. If I rebuilt our house on Pine Hill Road, with my skill, I did it. People would go by and go, did you see that house? Not a square joint in the whole place. More rain goes in the house than stays out of the house when it rains. It'd be a perpetual hissing. I'd be selling tickets to people come by and ride by the house that I built. The nation, without the instruction, the ability, they don't follow God, they make a horrible thing. It's like when you make a wrong turn and the consequences keep piling up the farther you go before you get back on the right way. They destroy the land. Crime increases. Oppression increases. Freedom is lost. Hostility increases. Hatred. Slander. Deceit. The wayward bring a perpetual scorn on the land. It doesn't get better. Many nations in the world mock our nation that we don't know the difference between a girl and a boy. The ways we consider to be so great, so high, look where we are. Oh, it's just a scorn. Charlie Brown used to wait for the great pumpkin. I'm trying to remember if he ever saw Gloria. But I don't think he ever saw the great pumpkin. But he waited every year. Didn't go out and get candy like the other kids. He waited for the great pumpkin. The great pumpkin wasn't so great after all, because he never showed up. Best I remember. But he sat there and waited in futility. He was mocked. People come by, look at Charlie Brown sitting in the pumpkin patch waiting for the great pumpkin. Everyone who passes by is astonished and horrified. How could a nation sink so low? How could our nation sink so low? Did you think 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago especially, that our nation would be where it is right now? Did you imagine from the government all the way down to the beliefs of the people, the practices of the teachings of universities, all these things, did you think we'd ever be here? Here we are. Natural consequences, but there are also divine consequences. Verse 17, like an east wind, I will scatter them before the enemy. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their calamity. God is active, not just a passive consequence, but an active judgment from God. Unbelievers believe they've gotten a breath of fresh air when they break away from God, a better life. One news guy this week said that pro-life is a biblical heresy. If you believe in pro-life and you're against abortion, that is a biblical heresy. Joe Scarlesboro, if you don't know his name. Because, he said, now follow this astute thinking of this man. Because Jesus didn't say anything against abortion. People pointed out that the Bible did say you shall not commit murder. But this was his thought. He didn't mention abortion by name. Therefore, Jesus was for abortion. We call that blasphemy and slander in classical theology. We call it numb brain in common speech. He's just stupid. And they bring it on themselves, and God turns the rebellion against the rebels. He says, I'm going to turn the east wind on you and wipe you out. I'll show you my back and not my face. I'll give you my disfavor, not my favor. And that's the worst thing. He scatters them before the enemy. And when Israel fell, the nation, and when people of the world fall, it will be because that God has destined them to wrath because of their unbelief. If you look at verse 18, let me ask you if this sounds familiar. In verse 18, they said, after Jeremiah preached this, they said, come and let us devise plans against Jeremiah. Surely the law is not going to be lost to the priest, nor counsel to the sage, nor the divine word to the prophet. Come on and let us strike at him with our tongue, and let us give no heed to any of his words. They all said, let's get on Twitter and bomb him. Let's Twitter mob him. Let's cancel Jeremiah. Rather than repent, rather than come to the Lord, rather than take his word as from God, they said, let's silence Jeremiah. And just like a falseless, worthless God, that doesn't matter to God. You can't silence God. For us and for the world, we must maintain the ancient paths. Don't be overwhelmed by the enormity of the task. You can do a lot with just one person. We can do a lot even with a small church. Don't fear the ferocity of opposition. They wanted to do things to Jeremiah. They want to silence the word of God. The sheer lunacy of their unbelief is astounding and makes us discouraged at times. But just don't get by that. Whenever I get milk, which I don't as often these days, what's the one thing you want to know about milk that's been in the refrigerator? How long has it been in there? And is it sour? Is it smell bad? And the problem with that is you have to smell it to see if it smells bad. I usually do this. Try to bring it to me. But you know, we know what sour milk is. Now, buttermilk is different. Sour milk, who wants sour milk? Give it to the cats, they'll drink it. But who wants sour milk? From when I was a child, sour milk was sour milk. Oh, yeah, but people might say today, that was when we were younger. It's probably fine now. No. No newfangled path can make sour milk sweet. You can't just say and declare today that milk that is sour is good. Who are we to judge? The devil's plan is to one day make every person enjoy sour milk. You know what we say? The milk is sour. We don't have progress in this world outside of the will of God. The milk is sour. Things aren't going well in this world when we open up to every illegitimate, immoral thing the world wants to foist upon us. The milk is sour. And that's what God's people, in discernment, and for the sake of the world and ourselves, must hold firmly. Let's pray. Well, we're grateful to you. You're a great God, merciful and kind, patient. And, Lord, we forget you to our peril. And even, Lord, forgetting you as sometimes we do before we know you. And we scorn your word. Yet, Lord, in mercy, you brought us to know you. We thank you for that. May we hold firmly to the ancient paths. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymn book. We'll do the Lord's Supper after this hymn. We haven't sung this song in a while. 392. I have every bit of confidence.